Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Nikki Howard episode. My favorite part of her interview was when she talked about her experience attending the New York Conservatory for Dramatic Arts. And she also has a podcast with her friend Sydney called the Sorry Mom Podcast. So make sure to check that out. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. That was fast.
What?
That you were very, very prompt.
Thank you.
Like you're boom on the ball.
I pride myself on that, although I did not have time to put my lip liner on. So you're going to watch me do that now, Stevie. This is-
That's fine. That's fine. I'm just happy that you showed up for the interview. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for showing up. This is going to be very easy. It's going to be a 45 minute thing. We have Nikki Howard from the Sorry Mom podcast, correct?
What's up? That's me.
And the last time, it's been a while since.
It's been a while. You look good. You look good.
Thank you. You do too. Do I look the same?
You look like you're thriving. You're thriving out here.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. The same to you. The same to you.
Thank you.
The last time we connected, it was you and Sydney came through, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's focused on you. Individually, because I don't know if we had a chance to get your like background info.
My whole story.
Yeah, if you want to, yeah. Well, where are you originally from?
I'm from Florida.
Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was born in New York, and then as the Jews do, we moved south.
Okay, because the warm weather.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, and then because I did some research as well.
Okay.
You ended up attending the New York Conservatory for Dramatic Arts.
I did do that.
Okay, so can you build up to that point as well?
I always was like, I want to act, I want to do comedy, I don't want like a real job, like I don't need college, like who are we kidding here? I ended up like, going to a performing arts like magnet school, like a middle school.
So describe what magnet means. I have never heard that.
Oh, it's like you audition to get into the program to go to the school.
So what kind of things did you have to do?
You have to do like a monologue and they give you like scripts, but they had different programs. So there was like a music program. So kids would like try out to be in the music program. So we'd have like normal classes, you know, like math and stuff, but then for like a quarter of the day, we would do like acting classes and whatever that was.
Do you remember some of your favorite movies that inspired you growing up? Can you name a few movies that kind of inspired you as well?
You know, I was more stand-up. And I remember, my parents had no concept of what was appropriate for a child. I realized that because I thought everybody, like TV shows, like my mom is older, so she didn't really know. I grew up watching South Park.
I love your mom in your dance music videos. She's adorable.
She's a gem.
Oh, but my God.
Yeah, she shines. She would just watch South Park, Crank Yankers. She's like, they're cartoons, obviously, for children.
Yeah.
But that's like, so I always was like, this is great. And so my dad was big into stand-up, but it would always be like Richard Pryor's playing in the background. I remember specifically watching Bigger and Blacker, Chris Rock special.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just being like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. And I don't even know, I was so young that I can't even believe that so much of it registered with me, but I remember loving it so much. My mom took my brother and me to like Barnes and Noble, and I got the book.
Oh, wow.
It's almost, it's just a transcript of the special. And there's a picture that I have just, you know, mid-90s, my brother and I in the back of the car, I'm reading that book and my brother's reading Howard Stern's Dirty Words, and we're just like little kids just like with our fucking Walkman on, like
it's pretty mature for that age to like know, especially prior, because that's like,
I know,
like adults, like I mean that dude's, man, he was a genius.
Yeah.
So So that got you. I had no idea. So the stand-up got you interested in acting and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Just being like, I can make people feel how I'm feeling right now and also like escape my own life. Like, why is everyone not doing this? So I had horrible grades in high school because I was like, why bother?
Yeah.
You know? I'm in the plays. I'm close with the administration. Like, we all know I'm not fucking going to college. But for some reason I thought I would get in. I was like, I'll go to like an acting school. So I'll try out for one school and I'm gonna go to Tisch. I'm gonna go to NYU, I thought. I had like a 2.8 GPA.
Oh, that's pretty prestigious school.
I really is. But I was like, I'll, you know, blow them away with my incredible monologue.
And they
That was a great audition.
Do you remember what the monologue was of?
I don't.
Okay, but it was a movie or something or a play?
I think it was a movie. I think I had to have two. I don't remember. Fuck.
That's okay. It's okay.
But I think one was like a dramatic and one was comedic. But I remember going to the audition and being like, great. And they were like, great. We just have to see your, you know, your GPA. And my mom and I looking at each other like, fuck, how did we miss that? So we ended up just walking around New York, just like, are there schools near here?
Yeah.
And we stumbled upon that school. Like
the Conservatory for Dramatic Arts, the New York Conservatory. Yeah.
And my mom was like, we walked in and I was like, can I audition? Like, I just went, I came from Tisch and I'm not getting in. So I need help.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, you can audition, I guess, stranger, you don't have an appointment, but I auditioned and I ended up getting a scholarship to go there.
You got a scholarship?
I did.
Was it a full scholarship?
It was majority scholarship,
That's great.
Yeah. So that was really cool. It ended up, and it was only like 2 years.
How big was our campus? Can you describe the
campus
experience?
Two level building, two levels of a building in New York.
It was small.
Yeah, it was so small. It was it wasn't college. It was just like a place you go to during the weekend. Like there's classes that you have to go to. And
so you obviously had to move over there to New York.
Yeah. Yeah. So I moved to New York when I was 18.
So what was that like? How did you find a spot and what was it like living in New York when you're 18 years old? That's a fast city, you know?
Yeah. Well, my parents got divorced. My dad, when I was young, I would go back and forth. So my dad lived in New York. I was used to just the city. So there were dorms in.
I know all about the dorms.
You know about the dorms. The dorms, you get it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The dorms. Spent many of years in the dormitories.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
These dorms were in Brooklyn Heights. And I used to just commute back and forth. And then, you know, once you have to move out of the dorms after your first year.
No, I stayed until year seven.
I know. I was like, can I get to be one of those RAs? You know, where they like, how do I get in?
Residential assistant. Yeah. The RAs got free housing.
Yes. And the slots were full. So I had to find a place. And I remember my mom grew up like essentially in New York. Both my parents are from like generations of New York Jews. Like,
yeah.
So they're, but my mom hadn't lived in New York in a really long time. And so I remember being like, mom, I have a job, but I cannot afford to live. I was like 19. I was like, can I have some money to live in a place till I can save up? And she was like, yeah, of course. Like, how's like, and my mom's concept of like how much rent was from like the 60s. My mom was like, how's like $400?
No, like, you need 4,000.
And I was like, I was just so grateful. I was like, I can make it work. And
with
so
$400?
So when I tell you, I found it, but I had also like, I had a job. So I was like, maybe I could get like, you know, I could figure something out. So my mom actually ended up coming out to New York, and I was like so proud of myself. I was like, this is like, I'm an adult, I found this spot, and I was stoked. I was like, mom, I cannot wait for you.
Yeah.
Place. I was signing the lease that day. She came with me.
Wait. How did you find the spot? Did you just go on Craigslist?
Yeah.
And so can you just, was it a flat? Was it a one bedroom? Was it a studio? What kind of apartment was this?
Studio, ground level in, I think it was, God, I don't remember exactly where it was, but it was a place you do not want to be.
So it what borough was that?
I think it was in Brooklyn.
Okay. I felt like Brooklyn it on the might top. Have
been,
yeah.
It might have been Bushwick, but like not Bushwick now.
Right, right. I'm not too familiar. I've been there, but I don't know the geography that well.
It was not good, but I was stoked because I had, and it was the square footage, it was so small.
Is this smaller than my apartment?
Oh, easily.
So it was, so hold up. So that means it was half the size of this.
It was so small, Stevie, that like, I can't even, it was like a jail cell. It really was like, it was so small.
I think I know the size because when I went to Arizona State, I moved into these dorms called Ocotillo and my room was like a jail cell.
Yeah.
With a sink. With
yes, the sink. And the sink, it was like you had where you could touch, you could reach everything you needed.
Oh, yeah.
Fridge and wash your hands in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that.
So it was a dinker.
It was troubling, but I was stoked. I was like, I can, you know, I could get on Pinterest and I can make it work.
Yeah.
And I was just grateful that my mom was willing to help me. So I was like, I should bring her in. We walk in and my mom's face drops like I've never seen, and she started to cry. She was like, you were gonna live here? And I was like, yeah. She was like, what do you, and I was like, well, this is what you can get for like the amount of money that
how much was it?
It must have been like $650 a month or something.
Affordable. Yeah, you could work with that.
Yeah, it was cheap. I could afford it.
That's cheap.
It was cheap. Yeah, it was really cheap.
Now in 2021, how much would that be?
Probably easily a grand.
$8,000.
Well, I don't, the area I'm sure is super nice now.
Yeah, it would have been quadrupled.
Yeah, but my mom was like, you can't live here. And then she ended up giving me some more money. And then, but then after
wait, so did you end up moving there?
I did not. My mom would not let me. I was like, it's fine. She was like, you'll die. You will die.
Right. It was that small.
Yeah. But so, the area was very unsafe.
Or let's talk about the place you did move into then.
Okay, so after that, I ended up living in a spot with a roommate for 1 year. And then after that, my mom was like, I can't pay anymore for that. Like, you got to figure it out. So
you had to hustle. You had to hustle. Yeah.
So I got a different job and I moved to Harlem on the top floor of a 6-floor walk up.
Dang.
In a 3-bedroom with 5 girls.
Whoa, you had to live with that many people?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And it was, yeah, but it was like, it was mostly the stairs. It was the hardest part because like people wouldn't deliver us pizza. They were like, you live on the top floor. It's a 6-floor walk up. You come down here. I'm not walking up the steps.
Oh, just, it must have been a nightmare. How did you find, who are these people you're living with?
People from school.
Oh, did you necessarily like them?
Yeah, I like them. I mean, it was just kind of like, I'm in New York. Like, I need a place to live.
Yeah.
Like, well, I can like you enough to live with you because I have to. Do you know what I mean?
How did you hustle? How'd you get your hustle on there? Like,
So I had a job working for this restaurant.
Were you waiting tables?
No, I was a pizza prostitute. So I stood outside. I was like a barker.
Oh, well, describe what that is. Do you have to sell, there's pizza here?
Yeah, so you stand out front, essentially, and you're like, do you want pizza?
And
people are like, no.
You gotta promote. You're a street promoter.
Yes, yes, a pizza prostitute.
Oh, so I did the same thing in Arizona.
Yeah, you get Barrow's it.
Pizza. Horrible.
It's horrible.
I actually had to take flyers and I had to hit every single dorm room.
Really?
On my skateboard, and then I would put flyers in people's dorm rooms.
But I feel like at least people, like, you're in college and like people want pizza. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
But it was, there's a lot of rooms I had to go to, and complex, not only dorm rooms, but all the apartment complexes neighboring the campus.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so keep going. This is interesting because, you know, I'm like, I could get visuals off your New York experience. Keep
going. Yeah.
Yeah.
You never lived in New York?
No, I never lived there, but I have been there. Yeah. We did a couple shows there. Like, yeah.
You never lived there.
No, I don't. I would die within a month.
You don't. Yeah. It's just like, I feel like everyone should live there for a little bit and then not live there anymore.
It's too fast paced, man.
It's just so expensive.
Not only that, it's a different energy. People are like, get out of my way. Get out of my way. I'm walking.
Yeah.
And then I remember just observing the people on the street and they were all hustling. Like this guy's like, peanuts here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, oh, this guy's like hustling at like 7 a.m. selling peanuts
peanuts. And those peanuts are good too.
You know what I'm talking about? I heard him like hustle peanuts, you know?
Yeah.
And then I remember walking to Starbucks and then I realized I was walking too slow.
Oh no. Yeah.
People are like, get out of my fucking way. And I'm like, whoa, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're not from here.
No. Yeah. And they know that.
Yeah. They can tell by your energy.
No, I'm California all the way. Yeah. I could just lay in bed all day.
I moved here and I was just like,
yeah.
You
know what? It makes sense. You still kind of have a little bit of that New York energy in you, don't you? Like hustle.
Yeah. You have to. That's why I'm glad I lived there. So now I'm like, I feel like I.
So this is easy. It's a cakewalk here for you, huh?
I mean, I don't. It's you adjust. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is nice to like, you know, have a car, and you can put stuff in your car. Like go to the grocery store and you can put groceries in your car and then drive. You don't have to walk.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up because in New York you don't need a car. Right.
Yeah, it's just you need a cart. A lot of people have carts. I refuse to get a cart.
So you would take the subway everywhere. You could just take the subway everywhere.
Yeah. When I was living there, they didn't have Ubers either. That's like a newer thing. So this is
like early 2000?
No, this was like probably like 2010 to like 2013.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, okay. Damn, this is interesting. I didn't think we'd spend this long in New York, but I'm not.
We're here. We're in.
We're in it.
Yeah.
So you attended for 2 years, and then what motivated you to? Because you've accomplished a lot since then. I did research. You're with Gersh Agency. You've done commercial, like Sprite commercials or Old Spice. Like before that all happened, what motivated you from New York to pursue Los Angeles?
I was very cold. I was very poor. And I thought I could be equally as poor, less cold, and have a better quality of life and still do what I do here.
Yeah.
And I was like so depressed. It was just so cold. My mom was like, I can send you a light that you can sit under that's supposed to help with depression. And I was like,
Wait, come again? What kind
I'm of... Not- Yeah, it's like a UV light. This is a real thing. And I was like an iguana. Like an iguana.
Oh, blanket. It's like a light. Yeah. Oh, because it gives you the UV.
I think I should move.
Right. And so did you just decide on a whim and just got a plane ticket and then?
Yes. So
or did you solidify a spot first?
So my best friend at the time that I was living with in New York, one of the five, we shared a bed in the bedroom situation, just to give you a layout of how that actually worked. I was like, we gotta fucking get out of here. And she was like, all right. So I went on Craigslist and I looked up just places in LA. And I, of course, you have no concept of how far away anything is when you move here.
Yeah, so, everything's so spread apart.
But I remember I had come here and I'd visited friends of mine that had moved here already and they were living in Panorama City. And all I remember is looking at the map and being like, I don't want to live there.
Where's Panorama City? Where is that?
In Van Nuys-ish.
Oh, Van Nuys. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they were like, we didn't know when we moved here that we probably shouldn't have lived all the way here.
You know, so where did you decide to go then?
So I ended up finding a spot. It was a two bedroom, a mile and a half from the beach in Venice for $1,000 a month.
Whoa, that's unheard of.
No, $1,200.
I think that's still unheard of. That's still unheard of.
And it was the reason that we got the spot. If people were moving out and they needed someone to sublease it.
Yeah.
They were going to move out.
That's so crazy. You were by Venice?
I was in Venice. Yeah.
That's so crazy you brought that up, because like on my YouTube feed, I watched these videos on like different places, like the homelessness problems. Do you know that Venice is like tent city now?
Can I tell you, when I was living there, I had a homeless man walk into my apartment and crawl into bed with me.
What the fuck?
Yeah, because my roommate, she worked at a bar, and like she texted me like, I forgot my key or whatever. Like, can you just leave the door open? I was like, sure. Like,
yeah.
Sure. Hindsight, probably shouldn't have done that, but it wasn't that bad then. So anyway, I remember hearing someone in our apartment and thinking like, oh, she's home. Like she would like bring people over, whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything of it. I turn over and I feel a body like get in, and he was like a young kid, still homeless, but you know, it wasn't like. And I just remember like, what the fuck? And I pushed this dude, and I remember that he had Fritos and a skateboard. And I just said like, take your fucking Fritos and get out of my house. And I shoved this guy out. He left. I locked the door. And I remember sitting on my bed and being like, okay. And I fell back asleep. And
I'm surprised you didn't say, Stevie, get the hell out of here.
I was like, he was like, it was.
You said Fritos and a skateboard. I'm sorry.
Fritos, yeah. Apparently that's.
Weeby, what the hell are you doing in here?
The people's guy. Yes.
All right. Yeah. So he was, that's breaking and entering. I mean, he broke a few laws.
I remember waking up and being like, that, I cannot believe that happened. And I it didn't seem real. And I looked on the ground and there were Fritos on the ground. And I was like, that fucking happened. And I told my mom.
You didn't scream or you didn't grab a baseball bat?
He left. I was like, get the fuck out. And I startled him and he left. Like, he wasn't a violent homeless person.
And that happened what year?
That was the year I moved here. I don't know. It must have been like, it was either the end of 2013 or the beginning of 2014.
I'm telling you, if it was today, there had been 10 people in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen the state of Venice Beach lately?
It's
fucking crazy.
It's getting really bad everywhere. Like here, like in North Hollywood, it's insane.
I mean, there's tent encampments even on every side street, on the sand.
It's crazy.
But then if you put yourself in their shoes, let's say like if I was homeless, where would you want to go?
100% Venice Beach.
I would, because check this out. They have shower, you know, they have public showers.
100%.
They have bathroom showers. You could panhandle on the, you know,
and
boardwalk.
There's tourists that are vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, okay, like they're not, you know, they'll give you money. They'll buy your mixtape.
Yeah, or you could sell art. You could just paint all day and slang your art. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you could get that hustle and no problem.
All right, so I didn't mean to get off topic, but I just popped in my head because I'm like, because I've been watching these videos. It's fucking crazy there right now.
Watching videos, you're not going. Like, I trust the video. I'm not going there to see it.
Oh, no, this guy's, he documents it. Like, this, I don't know what country he's from, but he tapes the whole, there's no bullshit. He, like, tapes everything, and he tells you. Nuts. It's crazy. And he even went there. You know how it rained a few days ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, he went that day, and he felt bad. You know, he was empathetic towards him because it was, like, all of their tents were getting all wet and stuff, and it was crazy.
It's nuts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so Venice.
Yes.
You got a really good deal back then.
And I didn't want to move. And my roommate was working in, where was she? I think she was working in Hollywood at Cabo Cantina in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a job there, and she was like, I want to move so bad to Hollywood. And she's like a partier. And I was like, I just rode my bike to the beach every day. I was at the beach. Like,
yeah.
I'd put laundry in, ride my bike to the beach, come back, change it, go back to the beach. I was just always there. Dude. So I was just like, dude, I don't want to move. But, and I was like, we're never going to get, by the way, this place was a shithole. Like, just not, it was just.
Like, what made it a shithole? Did you have cockroaches?
Borderline cockroaches. But, like, like the pink tile in the bathroom, you know what I'm talking about? Everything, it was really small, just really old.
Yeah.
Like, it just was not, it just really dirty old carpet. And no, it was, it, the heat didn't work. Like, it was just, but it was $1,200 a month. And it wasn't, everything is like, it doesn't matter because we're right here and it's so cheap.
Utilities included?
No.
But they were cheap. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't have air conditioning, so it's like,
I've never heard a place in Venice that was that cheap at all.
I know.
Ever.
And our landlords, they were this old couple, Marty and Bess, and Bess had a SUV and every panel of it was painted a different color. And she, so but when I went into, she was like, we don't do credit checks. Like, we don't.
Hippies.
Very hippies. And we like the vibe. And I'm like, fuck yeah, because I don't have credit.
Right.
I like, I need a cheap ass place to live. So this is perfect. Let's fucking go. So.
So how long were you there for?
I was there for like a year.
And then. Okay. And so you went from Venice to Hollywood?
Hollywood Boulevard. Have you been to No Vacancy?
I lived off the boulevard, to be honest with you.
I lived in No Vacancy, like in that pink
building. Is that by Whitley? Because I live by Whitley.
Yeah, so I was on Wilcox and Hollywood.
Okay, yeah. So, dude, that apartment I was in was cockroaches. Yeah, cockroaches.
It's, yeah.
And it was, people don't realize that it was, people think Hollywood, you know, it's all glitz and glamour. No, it got really... it got dangerous.
Yeah, when you're on that close to the fucking boulevard,
yeah, you're in danger. You're in danger.
Danger zone. Call Kenny Loggins because we're in the fucking danger zone. Yeah.
I remember I didn't mean to cut you off, but I remember I was working at Amoeba and I walked back up to my apartment on Whitley and it was at nighttime.
Yeah.
And I was at, there's a corner store, and I got to the corner store and I heard this this black man. He had a shirt off and he had his hand like this. He said, "Bring your gun, fool." Like he was like talking this gun talk. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I can't go to my apartment right now.
Yes.
I was so scared. He's like, "Bring your gun, fool. Bring your gun." And I'm like, oh shit. I'm tired.
I just want
to
go.
Do I have to go all the way around up off the you know, that long
entrance,
the hill of Whitley, and then walk down? I don't know what exactly to do.
What you're talking about.
It's, I was scared.
That weird club and then the porn store.
There's a check cashing place. Do you know where that check cashing? Yeah, on the corner.
Yes.
Yeah, there's, it was around there. And he's like, bring your gun, fool.
Yes.
I'm just like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm fucked right now.
Yeah, I just sell records, man.
Yeah, I'm just working as a cashier. So how did you... How did you find that spot and who'd you move in with?
I moved in with the same girl, a friend of mine. She lived there and she was like, a spot in my building just opened up. So like, if you want, and it was a little bit more expensive, but it was a nice place. And I got my dog, who is a 100-pound long haired German Shepherd.
Oh.
And it was just the situate, and it's so fucking loud. I go to sleep at 8 o'clock. I wake up at 4. I'm a psychopath.
That's crazy.
I'm not like a Hollywood. I don't go out. I'm not like a club
gal.
You
go to sleep at 8 o'clock?
I'm so fucking early. Yeah, I'm a grandma.
What the fuck?
No, I'm fucked up. But I would walk him, and it's dark out in the morning, and yeah. Like, you know, you're walking around like homeless people, just like trying not to, like, thank God he like has a good sense about him. Cause
he's a good guard dog. Cause I heard German Shepherds are good guard dogs.
Yeah. He's good. He can like sense that something's off.
Right.
It's still like, I didn't want to like walk him on. There's fucking glass everywhere. And the kicker was they built a magic show above my bedroom. The Houston brothers decided that their next restaurant venture would be a magic show.
Oh, damn.
And, I just didn't want to have to deal with doves flying into my window.
Yeah.
So over it.
So you're living near magicians.
Yeah. I was just like, this is not the vibe for me, man. Like, I'm not.
Okay. So you moved again.
Well, then I moved to Burbank.
Okay. That's a step up.
Oh, yeah.
Is it near the IKEA over there? There's a nice IKEA.
Yeah. I moved to another spot in Burbank, but when I first moved here, yeah. I've lived a lot, but
yeah.
Now I'm exclusively in the suburban streets of Burbank.
Okay, yeah, Burbank's it's a lot more laid back over there.
Oh my God, I've got fucking neighbors with children.
It's yeah,
like, I live next to an Outback Steakhouse and a Krispy Kreme drive-through. I mean,
oh right. How's the rent out there in Burbank compared to these other places in the city?
So I think it's weird because I'm currently living in a place, my landlord's super old and it was like his daughter's house and he's very hands-off. So it's like our rent, my boyfriend actually haggled for the rent here.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was like, fine, that's fine. And I was like, how did you just haggle on rent? He's like, I just want people in there. I don't want to have to deal with people moving in and out. Like, I want people that are, I'll make the rent low, just stay in the fucking house and just.
How cheap is it?
It's a two bedroom and we pay $2,000 a month
for house. What?
We're not moving out.
What? That's a great deal.
I know.
$2,000? Backyard. Yeah, it looks like a house.
It's a fucking house.
For just $2,000?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I know.
Utilities included?
No, but why do you keep asking? Are your utilities included?
Yeah, but it's not a house.
You're the only one.
Yeah, I have rent control, but that's you have a great deal.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I don't want to move out.
Good for you.
Thank you.
All right, so you're set. You're set on your living situation there. Yeah.
It's not here. Like we can just. But the problem is, like, if something breaks or whatever, like if the plumbing's fucked, like we gotta fix it.
Well, that's you. That's manageable.
Yeah, it's fine.
Hire a plumber. Yeah. How did you start getting representation? And because it said you've worked for Xbox and Sprite and Old Spice, American Express. Are those commercials?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So how did you progress to getting that spot? And then because you're with Gersh, right?
Yeah.
Cause that's a prestige. That's one of the main juggernauts.
Yeah. That was, so I actually got my agent at Gersh. I was doing stand up and he was there. It's like the American Dream story. And he was like,
so
hey.
let's talk about that night. So describe Gersh is one of the biggest agencies in the world.
Good. They're good. They were looking for people that like do it all. That's like the thing now. They're like, we just want someone that can like, can you write? Can you act? Can you just like, we just do everything?
Yeah.
We'll represent.
So, okay. Tell us about that night. So where were you doing your set at?
I was doing it at the dojo.
Okay. Oh, where's that at?
At Laurel Tavern.
Oh, it's in the neighborhood.
Yeah. And I closed
it recently. Yeah. That's in the neighborhood. Okay. Keep going.
Yeah. So I started doing stand-up maybe like 2 years ago or something like that. Because, like writing sketches, whatever. I've been doing that for a while. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, I want to finally do that. And my friend Stevie, different Stevie, was doing stand-up. And he's like, just come with me. Like, just come to open mics, whatever. So I ended up doing, it was just like, I'm sad because I felt like I was finally getting in the groove of it and now I can't like go to an open mic anymore. So it's just kind of a bummer, but what are you going to do? But yeah, I don't know. I was just doing, I had a good set, I guess. And then I just like.
And then someone approached you after your set?
Yeah. So I was just talking to, like, we were all talking and then this guy came up and was like, hey, I'm Carlos. Here's my card. Like, would love to chat with you.
And that's how it went down?
Yeah.
But wow.
So when I was living in New York, I was every day on every casting website you could possibly find, how like just submitting myself for everything.
Everything. And
I ended up getting an agent for print because I started modeling when I was still in high school. So right. I had a book, and I remember thinking like, okay, well, this was my thought process when I was like 16 modeling. I was like, all right, there's such zero longevity to this career path, and I don't really want to do this for the rest of my life, but I think it'll be a good segue to at least get me like some connections, maybe get some commercial work. Maybe from there I'll like start getting some like little TV stuff, and like maybe, you know, one thing will kind of snowball into the other.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what happened, because I got an agent for modeling when I was in New York, and so I was able to like I got work doing that, and then I was submitting myself for commercials. I ended up booking some commercials that I just submitted myself on, and then
Didn't have to audition?
No. I submitted myself to like go on the audition.
Oh, well, so that takes extra initiative.
Yeah, I was
to
like,
submit yourself?
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Cause I was in early 2000, I was in the commercial game, and yeah. I just showed up to these, you know, like 200 South La Brea, or I would show up to, you know, here or there. Right. Yeah. You know, so you took that extra step to submitting your stuff to them.
Yeah. Well, I was like, I don't have an agent and I want to do this. So like, here's just.
Wow. And then you reap the benefits. Cause I'm reading here. You've booked, what was it like working on that Sprite ad?
That was really cool. That was here. That was a print job that shot, in New York. So I actually flew to New York to do it. That was awesome. I mean, it was just like how crazy is this?
That's crazy. Yeah. And then, what about Xbox? I'm a gamer myself. What was that experience like?
Xbox was the first commercial that I got in New York that I submitted myself on.
And then they just reached out to you like, okay, we want it.
I auditioned for it and they were like, yeah, you're, I don't even remember what it was.
Wow.
I think I did one here. I did a commercial here for like some game. I think it was an Xbox game that was like about football players. They had like a bunch of like famous football players.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not a gamer.
That's crazy. And then, so were they the regional, national campaigns?
Some of them were national. Some of them were
regional. Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember a lot of the early ones were non-union, so it was just kind of like a flat rate. But I was like, whatever, fuck it. So then I had stuff. So when I moved here, I got an agent here. And then I just kind of kept submitting myself still for things.
Mm-hmm,
And then at a certain point, I was getting a lot of like acting stuff, but none of it was like, it was like Latina cop. Like,
yeah.
Like mysterious hooker. And I was like, I just can't really, I don't want to do that.
Right.
That I wanted to like act, but that just seems like maybe you guys could like submit me for some comedy stuff. And they were like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I'll just start like making my own stuff then. And so then that's kind of.
Yeah. And that's a great segue because you do your own content as well. You have a YouTube channel, right?
I do.
Okay. Let's talk about that. So when did you decide to start doing the YouTube thing?
About 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I just was like so sick of not doing the things that I wanted to do. So luckily I met a friend who was experienced doing it. So we started working together and writing, and then I just was like, all right, well, I should just probably start my own while I'm, you know, doing this.
And then you just came up with your own content and ideas and stuff. Just,
like trying to figure out how to edit things and
that. So did you learn all that?
Yeah.
Okay, use Premiere and everything, Adobe Premiere. Oh, okay. So you're just same with me. I had it. You have to learn. USB drive. Yeah. How do you come up? I want to know this because you do interesting videos on your Instagram as well. Yeah. How do you come up with the ideas of like the music? The music videos. Yeah. How do you come up with all that?
That's so random. So I just started doing that because I was like, this is fun to me. And then people were like, yeah, this is great. But how do I have like, I feel like a sense of duty to like bring back the songs that I feel like the generation that is here now, like they just don't
Oh, because you have a wide variety. You've even covered Cypress Hill.
Fuck yeah. None of it's
current. And they liked it. I saw that they liked your video.
It is so cool that, like,
I mean, how did that make you feel? I mean, that dude's an OG.
Like, my heart sank. I was like, this is like...
Like, be real, like your shit.
It's crazy. Like, when I tell you, I had Killer Mike repost one of my videos, and like...
Wait, Killer Mike from Run the Jewels? Killer Mike?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
I swear to God. Like, this shit, like, I have chills talking about it. I'm such, like, a big...
Oh, dude, those dudes are raw. Yeah, they're dope.
Like, that to me is like the ultimate, like, this is so fucking cool.
Killer Mike liked your shit too.
Reposted it, son.
He reposted it. That's so crazy. Isn't it crazy we're in the age now? Like, back in the day, that would have been hard to get their attention. But now you could do it on your own platform to get your heroes or people you look up to. That's so crazy.
It really was like, it's so cool. So, but I just do it because I feel like there's so many good, like, the music that I like, I don't.
You have like a wide variety. You like everything, right?
Yeah, very across the board.
Eclectic, yeah.
Very eclectic, as long as it's like not anything that's like new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I like look at the edits. Does it take a long time to edit those? It seems like there's a lot of cuts and.
It's really not that. It takes me maybe 15 minutes.
So you do it on your phone, or how do you do that?
Yeah, it's so easy. I know. Yeah. I mean, it's probably like 15 minutes of my life that I could probably like be spending, like, you know, learning like a trait that'll help.
Yeah.
I mean, like, but it's fun, so I just do it anyway.
That's great. Keep it up. It's good shit. I wanted to end by talking about the Sorry Mom podcast, because that's still happening.
You still gotta come on,
huh?
You still have to.
I know what's going on. I would love to. I want to start out because I want to promote it here and then talk about. Okay, so that's you and Sydney's.
It is.
Talk about like how people could watch it.
Oh yeah. So you could go on our website.
Okay, what is it?
SorryMomPodcast.com. Mm-hmm. We have a YouTube. It's just Sorry Mom Podcast. We've got Spot. It's on Apple Mute, whatever. Fucking Spotify, wherever you can find it. Just Sorry Mom Podcast. That's it.
How many episodes deep are you guys into the podcast?
I just finished editing episode 132.
Whoa!
What are you on right now?
190 close. Yours is gonna be 201. I have Open Mic Eagle is gonna be right before you. He's 200, and then you're gonna be 201.
That's so crazy. Isn't it crazy? You're like,
you know what I realized though? Because it's like I noticed that like the views have kind of gone down, but because people are fickle nowadays, it's like it's hard to kind of capture their attention. And I noticed maybe a reason why is because these Zooms are cool, but I think you can't really replace
it. You can't,
you know what I'm saying? You can't replace people coming and being there because it's a different vibe. You know what
it
I mean?
It really is. Yeah. But fuck it. You know what?
But like, I feel like I have to because COVID and all this shit's going down and like, what else am I supposed to do? You know,
you gotta fucking talk about shit that's not COVID. People don't want to hear about COVID anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, let's just not talk about it.
But I'm also adding to the fact that it's the COVID's the reason why I can't have people come through and what I mean? People are paranoid, man.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's like, as long as, you know, we just need to escape. That's why we do what we do. You know what I mean? Like, just like, let's just have fun.
Now, do you have any advice for people who want to start doing this content? What kind of advice would you give them?
Just don't do it. No. Find a plan B.
I wasn't expecting
that. Just be like, you know, don't be afraid. Don't read the comments, man.
No, I don't.
That's my advice. It's just like,
because it could be 90% good, and then that one comment could mess you up. Yeah,
from Idaho.
And it's not, they're not general comments. They like attacked your character and who you are.
What the fuck is wrong with you? It's like, I just am trying, man. Like,
My whole attitude is like, dude, I'm doing this. I'm giving this content. I'm just putting this out there. Yeah. And it's like, it's hard enough to like edit the shit or whatever I'm doing. And it's like, I, it's just kind of like, it's salty, you know?
It is. It's salty.
Yeah.
But, you know, F all the haters, man.
And I want to also throw out there consistency.
Consistency is the big, you can't give up because it's really hard. It's like hard to do this. I feel like it looks so easy and like it doesn't take any time, but like there's so much, just be prepared.
Well, not only that, planning, because sometimes it doesn't go your way. So, no. I'm not going to put people on blast, but I've reached out to people out there where, have you ever reached out to a guest where they're like so iffy, but they don't say yes or no?
Yes.
It's in this gray area.
I don't like
and
that.
It's like, I'd rather you just say, no, I don't want to do it.
Right. Yeah.
But there's certain guests where I've been dealing, like I've dealt with them almost like years.
Yeah.
Where they're like, I don't know. I'm just, I don't know how I feel. I'm not in a good place right now. But it's like 6 months would go by. I'll hit them up again. I'm just still not in a good place. I'm working on this other thing. I'd rather have them say, because I already know that they don't want to do it.
Right.
Just say, I'm not going to do it. I'd respect that. I'd be like, all right, cool. I'll just move on.
You should write them and just be like, look, I don't want to do this anymore.
Have you dealt with this?
Yes, absolutely.
Where they don't say yes or no, but they kind of leave it where they give you hope. They give you hope.
It makes me so mad when they do that I no longer want to do it anymore. So I just like, I'm done. Because I know when I sit down with that person, I can't not bring that up. I can't not start the conversation with like, so what the fuck?
It'll make it more awkward.
Yes, absolutely.
And then you wouldn't be true to yourself because you're holding this back. Like, absolutely. Now you're finally here. What took you so long?
Yeah. How are you doing? You've been in a very bad place for a long time, which is why we're doing this so long after I initially asked you. That's what I would say.
How's
your emotional and mental health?
I would rather respect a yes or a no.
Yeah, just like give it to me straight.
But you know, I'm kind of hypocritical. I think I've done that too. I'm honest with them. I like, okay, so because people have been asking me, I'm like, because I'm working on music too. So I'm like,
cool.
I'm trying to finish this project. Yeah. I don't want to do all this. I'd rather get my shit done and then go on it so I can promote something. Yeah, I have. And like, I'm not, because I let people know, like, no, I'm not doing any right now.
Yeah. Yeah. But, what I'll do, I'll just be like, look, I just like, it's not a good time. Like, I'll say, like, if you want to circle back in a few months, like, I think, like, I'll be good, but like, right now, I just can't do it. It's not feasible. I'm not going to be an entertaining guest on your
show. Have you had people where you reach out to and they say yes, like a DM? They're like, yes, I'm down, but then it goes cold.
You never hear from them again. Yes, of course. It's like, okay.
So you've dealt with that where they go, I'll do it. Yeah. And then hit them up.
I felt so bad when you kept reaching out to me because I can't.
I knew you'd come through because because I can only imagine. Do you get hit up a lot like on your
because
I get flooded just with the people on my shit, but you must have just
it's just random.
I just
lose important things and they made like the general and the primary, they just like pop that out of nowhere and it's everywhere now.
That's why I wasn't tripping. I'm like, oh, she probably is flooded. Your shit's flooded.
I'm like, please just send me an email. Anybody that's important, just send me my brother will sometimes be like, you good?
Just text you?
That's what I said. I was like, you have my phone number. You have a direct fucking line. Brother, just call me. Am I okay?
Look, I appreciate your time.
I appreciate you for having me.
This is where we're kind of wrapping it up here. This is the time where I want you to say your socials, your website, any projects you have and all that good stuff. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. My Instagram at Nikki_Howard, NIKKI_Howard. I think that's also my TikTok as well.
Mm-hmm. That's your TikTok as well.
I think, yeah, it is.
Okay. You have a website.
I have a website, NikkiAHoward.com. My YouTube is just Nikki Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Put Sorry Mom podcast.
Okay, and they could just type that into Google and find it.
Type it in anywhere. Yeah, you'll find it.
And then do you have any, is there any projects that you're writing or stuff comedy wise?
Weekly sketches on YouTube. And
can you plug your YouTube channel again?
It's Nikki Howard, YouTube.
Just Nikki Howard.
I'm the worst at this, by the way. I'm realizing.
No. And you're still active on that. Didn't you just post something a couple days ago?
Facebook, Nikki Alexis Howard. I'm trying to get my
You're getting your Facebook
I'm
on now.
I realized, by the way, that I don't think I ever deleted my MySpace. Did you?
Oh, damn. I don't think I have.
I thought about it. I was like, we all just forgot. And they're all up still.
Is it still there?
I don't know. I don't know.
You just give me a panic attack almost.
I swear to God, I thought about it the other day. I was like, oh, my God. Did everyone do this?
And so Tom is still alive?
I haven't been on in years. But I would like, if maybe we all.
Oh, my God. That'd be interesting. A walk down memory lane. The MySpace memory lane.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? You know what's even more weirder is Instagram's going to be like MySpace one day.
Yes.
And then we're going to be on some other shit. And do you remember those Instagram days?
I remember going on fucking Kazaa and like downloading my music.
Oh, snap.
Good song. But
oh, my God. So in like a few years, it's going to be the other thing.
In a few years, fucking Spotify is going to be Kazaa.
Yeah, Spotify. Wow. Yeah, I know. I'm not even on it.
I know. It's the whole thing.
I'm not even on Spotify. I have some music on there, but not like some of my stuff's not on there.
Are you on SoundCloud?
No, I'm on Bandcamp. I like Bandcamp because if people want to support you, they can support you directly, and you know how many songs albums you're really selling.
That's cool.
Because with Spotify, like, they're not going to tell you what
Spotify,
how many people. They're not going to tell you who's streaming, you know, like us. So who's streaming where this stream's coming from. I don't think they do.
I don't know.
I don't, unless you're like huge, you know?
Yeah.
I'm cool with Bandcamp for right now. Cause at least I know who's supporting me.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's all the time we have. Okay, so that's what we have. Wait, before you go, okay, that's it. But before you go, do you think Sydney would be open to doing an interview as well?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I'll holler. I'll holler at her. Okay, yeah. Because I wanted to get both. So, you know, it'll be good for the Sorry Mom brand. You know,
the entity.
Entity. I appreciate your time. Thanks for showing up. You're very prompt. And usually when I invite someone, email? It takes them a while. And then, but you like join right away.
Like disgustingly early, always know that.
That's
always
a good quality.
Thank you.
That's a good quality to have.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate
you. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, peace. Mm-hmm. All right, so there you go. Man, she was prompt. I like that. She was on time. Everything went smoothly. I don't have my cheat sheet again, but I have a website, stevieweebyshow.com. If you want any type of merch, just know it'll be delayed a little bit because of this COVID thing. My Bandcamp's at my music's at my Bandcamp, stevieweebybandcamp.com. I am like 97.5% done with the I Feel Stir Crazy album, but it's getting there. It's real close. I've been saying that every week, but I don't know. I've been throwing a little, I just worked on this other interlude kind of singing thing I'm doing on it, but just bear with me, stick with me. It'll be worth it. I think the project's going to be dope. Instagram/QUANGOU. If you want to help support this content, patreon.com/stevieweeby. I'm still doing this, even though I noticed that once I started in the war zone shits, people are like watching that more than the interviews. I don't know what's happening, folks, but tell a friend, is my interviews ain't going nowhere. I'm still going to be doing them. Okay. What was I going to say? I think that's it. Patreon, Instagram. Yeah. Lil Ray, look out for Lil Ray. He might be having some cameos on the new album. And according to him, I think that he's trying to outdo me, you know? as far as the songwriting stuff. Thanks for tuning in. Love y'all. Peace.